Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. Woke up this morning, took a shower, went in the closet, and realized I had something to say about thumbtacks. So I grabbed my phone, and I did a stand-up episode in the closet. I don't know if you like the acoustics, but talking about thumbtacks and other kinds of damage or alterations, not necessarily restorations to cards. Again, it fits more with vintage. But I make a big distinction between deceptive or these fresher alterations compared to historic childish alterations from back in the 50s and the 60s when life was simpler and kids thumbtacked their cards up on a corkboard. Again, don't be too hard. Nobody would do that now. Like I say, the alteration aspect now is more of deception, and I don't like that. But I think cards from the 50s, if they're otherwise good, if they are authentic, in fact, the other point of this episode before I get into it is that basically altered cards are not junk. They are less value, but they're not no value. And in some cases, in many cases, I think an altered card could be more desirable or have a higher price, sell at a higher price than certainly a lower numbered graded specimen of the same card. The other insight for this episode is as I'm walking through it, authentic altered cards, when they're not benign alterations, but innocent alterations back in the day, some of those I think are going to be appreciated and the price, they will not be looked down as much as they were. But thanks sponsors, Topps Panini, Upper Deck, Heritage Auctions, Huggins Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, ComC.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication. I believe all cards have value. Some just have more value. And I think when people criminally alter cards to try to deceive, that's totally wrong, and I'm totally against that. But what do I do with these cards I have in my collection that I didn't do anything wrong? They just came in the collection. I ought to be able to sell them, and I ought to be able to sell them for a price that the secondary market determines is fair. So thanks, everybody. And here's my stream of consciousness in the closet.
The next episode on thumbtacks and tape. Basically, when I was a kid, and as I've seen collections over time, and glue to paste, different ways that cards are affixed. If you could tape it up on your bedroom wall, you could thumbtack it to a corkboard, you could paste it in an album. I guess you could throw in photo corners too, which is something some people did. If you're doing those things, number one, don't do it. But if you got cards that did that, which is worse, they all will grade poorly. Basically, even photo corners would sound innocuous. Over time, there is not so subtle indentations in the corners frequently, and it perhaps could be pressed out, whether that's professionally or amateurishly, and that's your prerogative on your own card. If you were to grade it, though, it may be detectable and may not be. Yet, there's no breaking of the surface. It'd be controversial. If it's undetectable, then you submit it to a grading service, and they say that looks nice. Again, you didn't press out the card in order to trim it. You just put it in a dry mount press of some kind. And over time, it went back to its original shape. You didn't spoon it out, which is another technique. All glues and pastes are not equal. There are some glues and pastes that are water-soluble, and those can be removed from very light glue to very heavy glue. With heavy glue, it's difficult, but there are services and enterprising individuals that have figured out that if it's a certain kind of glue, it can be soaked out or chemically reduced. Now, you got to be careful of other solvents or chemical residue, controversial. But if a card is glued on construction paper into an album, which I've seen a lot of that, the glue is either soluble or not. If it's soluble with water or soluble with some other thing, then after you do that, you have a much nicer looking card. Even if you sent it in to get graded and it came back authentic because of alteration, they detected the smell of the solvent, or they could see a watermark or some kind of water indication that it had been soaked. Those are things that would downgrade it, but it sure would look a lot better than having glued where you can't see the back at all. The other thing was tape. I've seen tape on the front, tape on the back. Sometimes the tape on the front doesn't even make sense. The tape across, I don't even understand why. I've had some cards where the tape on the front is just going across the middle of the card. If I saw tape at the very top where the tape had been taped up on something, same thing. I don't see a lot of double stick tape. That's, I think, a relatively new, not invention, but I don't see very many of that. But I do see tape on the front of the card. I guess I see more tape on the front than on the back. I used to see stamp hinges. Yeah, I guess I saw some of that. Some of that I think is removable, but if it's not removed just right, again, if you use a foreign substance, you're probably going to get caught, but it still would look better. So the question and the evolution of this issue is coming down to, would you rather have the card in a 3 or 2 or a 1 based on the blemish, the defect, or would you rather have it as authentic where it's been restored? In fact, rather than authentic altered, maybe it should be authentic restored. That can mean lots of different things. Build. I'd like to see the type of alteration being noted. If it's an alteration of building up the corners or filling in, trying to undo a crease that is broken through the paper, or the alterations of colorizing the border, or even also I'm lobbying for the alteration of a bad autograph on the card. You got handwriting on the card. It's hard to grade the card. If it was scribble on the front of the card, you could grade that. The surface would get a low grade. But if it was an attempt, even an amateurish attempt to put an autograph on the card, again, not from the person, but if it's from the person's sister or the secretary or the clubhouse guy, I'd like to see that articulated. And to me, then it could be slabbed and you'd know what it is, instead of saying, no, we can't slab it. Yes, it's authentic, but the inauthentic autograph means we can't slab it. People are already playing games back in the day when the autograph grade only was put on the card. I think PSA did that. People took advantage of unknowledgeable buyers to say, hey, this is a PSA DNA 10, when in reality, it could be a VG card with a perfect autograph, dual grades, which I think BGS started, is a good thing. Anyway, lastly, thumbtacks. I don't see a lot about that. Pinholes, thumbtack holes, bullet holes, another story, like a hole puncher. Not talking about that. That's a bigger problem. But a thumbtack, I used to see a lot of those, or pinholes, because especially kids in the 50s, they would put it up on their corkboard. I had a corkboard, I think, when I was a kid. I didn't put cards up there, but how do you put them on there? You can't, how do you fix them? If you wanted to put them on your corkboard, you couldn't do it. Except, at any rate, my point is, at that point, if you grade the card, it's going to get crushed if it's got a thumbtack hole in it. Say it's a 1, a 2, I don't know what it would be, but it wouldn't be a good grade. And so would you rather have that? And some people would. They'd rather have a 2 with a thumbtack hole that's otherwise a 7 or 8 or a 9. Let's say it's a 50s card. When it presents perfectly centered, no corner wear, no edges damage, but the surface has a thumbtack hole. Would you rather have authentic and but is a 2, let's say, or would you rather have the thumbtack hole filled in, which is easily done? Not easily done for an amateur, but it's easily done to fill in if you have a moth hole in a woven garment. There's ways to build that up. Essentially, I think that's done from the backside. It's detectable, but not easily detectable. So you can fill in a little tiny hole there with paper fragments. That is not impossible. I don't think it's something the average person would do at home. That would look bad. But a professional restorer, an art restorer, could easily do that. It'd be detectable to graders. But then which would you rather have? Would you rather have the 2 with a distracting thumbtack hole if somebody looked at it, or an authentic restored card that just gets an A for authentic, altered, and restored that looks terrific? I've been saying this for a while. I think if somebody wanted to get ahead of the curve, I think paying what may in the future look like really low prices for authentic, but altered, or more correctly stated, restored, especially when it's mentioned. If you have a 71 Topps baseball Nolan Ryan card that's got a little tiny bit of chipping on one of the edges, if somebody colored that in with a black magic marker, a Sharpie, which surprisingly has done a lot, I believe the graders are catching that a high percentage of the time. But the card would otherwise be a 10. Okay, now with that chipping, maybe it's an 8.5 or an 8 or something like that. But taking the chance to get that 10 with perfect sharp corners, perfect centering, I'd like to see that articulated in the grade. It's an 8 because of that, but it's going to get an A grade. And the A, I think that's a fabulous looking A. And if it's explainable that it's authentic because there was a minor touch-up on the bottom side, and it just looks perfect. It would have been an 8 if they'd have left it alone.
but by messing it up, it gets an A grade. I think the price, the valuation of that card is going to be toward an 8. Somebody's going to look at that and say, wow, that's a great looking card. Yes, it's been touched up, but it's a great looking card. I don't think there should be rewards necessarily for restoring cards, outsized rewards, but I don't know that you should be crushed and penalized. The whole idea of grading and the valuations of grading, I believe there's going to be a shrinking or a reduction in the premiums for higher grade cards. When I've put cards out there for sale, if I put an 8.7654 out there for a 50s card, the 8s and the 4s get a lot of looks. The two customers are the ones who want to get the best grade, probably the best number even. They're buying the slab in many cases. But then there's also value buyers that are going to look. They're going to start at the bottom, and they're going to try to find a 4 that looks like a 6, that's priced like a 4. And I think the market will adjust to that. And so I think authentic cards come into that interplay, that you're in a situation where the authentic card, you have the 4, the 5, the 6, the 7, and the 8, but there's an A, and that A may present at arm's length like an 8. So if the authentic card, the A grade, is less than the 4, less than the 5, less than the 6, less than the 7, less than the 8, obviously, but looks like an 8 and looks way better than the 4, except for that alteration, that restoration aspect, I think you're going to see some squeezing of those prices where the lower grades are coming up and the higher grades, except for the very highest grade, are going to come down. There have been editorialized comments from veterans in the hobby that you ought to be suspect of any card from the 50s that's a 9 or a 10, unless it was just broken out of the pack. It's a slim shot that there's a good chance that if you find a too good to be true card, especially of a superstar, which in my neighborhood, those are the ones that were handled, they weren't put away, they were brought out for bragging rights, that you'd be in a situation where you should be suspect. Now, the graders are trying to catch it, and I think they do catch most of them, but there's very sophisticated restoration techniques from other types of paper products that have been brought in. Like I said, I'd like to see the graders catch them all, but if they don't, and you have a suspicion that this 10 has been improved, then I don't want to pay a 10 price for something that was an 8 that had the touch of a professional restorer. If that increases the value of it by 10x, I don't want to do that. I'd rather have an 8 that's unrestored and that looks fabulous. Now, if I know the exact pedigree of the 10, who had it, where it came from, all that stuff, that probably would give me some peace. But it's a very different market. Like I said, the number of people that are looking for the 8, 9, 10s of the 52 tops, it's a small percentage of the people. I want to collect the set because it's just too expensive.